Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
Hello.
We made it. Sorry. My dog just flipped out on me, so.
Oh, Lily.
I know. She's been very patient. I had to let her out. Okay, ladies. I'm excited.
It's Arrow time.
We are like two away from the end of the season. Or one away now. Holy crap.
Getting so close.
It took me the better part. It took us 10 years, but we did it.
Just about. Yeah.
So good. Just about. It's fine. It's fine. No one's counting. Oh, I hate this episode. I mean, I love it and I hate it. Like the Team Arrow stuff, choice, but the Laurel and Oliver stuff. Awful. So what are we taking on first?
Well, I thought what was kind of interesting between the last episode and this one is I almost feel there is kind of a shift where there is just such a stark quality difference between like the two arcs of like,
and how separate they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Laurel being on her own show situation. I forgot how bad that was in season one. And she just like has no connection. Like they're trying their best. Like, okay, Thea works at CNRI.
But to make her relevant.
To make her relevant. But like, do they ever interact? I think the last time they interacted was like three episodes ago. She asked her some rando relationship advice. I was like, okay.
It's pretty bad.
Like, it's just
and now that she's dropped Tommy, it's like, yeah, even more.
Now it's even worse. Yeah. Poor Tommy. He's so hurt. Precious little boo bear. Want to snuggle his poor little soul. It gets so much worse. What I get really mad about is Oliver. He just ticks me off this episode even more.
He's
all over the place.
Yeah.
And like the speech he gives. So first of all, Laurel comes to the club. And he said, she's like, well, we haven't talked for like a week. And like, he drops, I love you on her. And then freaking ghosts her. I'm like, what the, like, this is the problem with Oliver and Laurel is that I end up being Team Laurel.
He's
the worst. He's the absolute freaking worst. So yeah.
Like, could you be less of an asshole?
And then,
like, stop making us root for fucking Laurel.
I know. I was like, I don't want to like her, but you are making yourself so dislikable that I have to like her and feel for her because you're just the worst. So then she's like, so about the thing where you said you love me. And he was like, you know, don't worry about that. Like, don't let that impact you getting to get back together with Tommy. And she's like, cool. Well, it does impact me getting back to Tommy, you dillweed.
Because I can't just forget that you said
that. So like, that's all I've been obsessing about for the last week and how you aren't calling me. So you want to, like, I don't know, maybe talk about it? And, like, she puts herself out there. She's like, because he's totally gotten into her head. Like, you can see it.
Yeah.
Homegirl had moved on. She was perfectly happy with Tommy. And now he got into his head because she's like, well, you know, maybe Tommy's right. Maybe we don't belong together. Maybe you and I do belong together. Maybe I'm starting to see how much you changed. Maybe you're a different person. Maybe I can admit that I have feelings for you. And she's just like,
maybe I'm going to go find something to bash my head against.
Right. Maybe I want to drill a hole in my head because you are the most infuriating man on the planet. And he just stands there like his usual robot self.
Yeah.
And he's like, hard pass. She's like, what?
Such a fucking asshole.
He's like, yeah, nothing's changed. My life hasn't changed. Which, what does that mean to Laurel? Like, can we just operate with the understanding one time on the show that Laurel doesn't know who he is? Like, they kind of paint this episode like she knows. I'm like, girlfriend doesn't know anything. So when
she is the dumbest dumb to ever dumb.
Right.
Okay?
Like, I don't know. She's so stupid, but like I can't even blame her about that at this point. I'm like, he's just like, yeah, my life hasn't changed. I haven't changed. I hate this word changed. Like, I really hate it because
well, the way they use it, yes.
Because it's like, what does that mean? What does that mean to any of you people? What does changed mean? Like, he's more serious. Like, I can't really see any of that. Like, because they have Laurel go to Quentin and basically get permission from Quentin that it's cool for her to sleep with Oliver again. It was gross.
I was like,
let's go to the man who's lost a daughter because of this dude, and now his other daughter wants to shack up with him again. And we're just gonna like about face make it okay. Like, he's hated Oliver for 21 episodes, and then now it's like, yeah, Queen's changed. I won't admit that, but I'm like, what do you guys mean by that? Because you don't ever see Oliver interacting with them. Like, on a regular level. Like, he only shows up as the hood. It's like, what does that mean? Like, what, they don't, like, and then they're like, oh, he's going to lunches with Laurel. We don't see the lunches. We don't see what they're talking about.
Everything in their relationship is off the screen.
Yes! Everything's off screen.
So it's obviously not a priority for the show.
And, like, even the flashbacks, they could show us so much of their relationship in the flashbacks, and
they can do flashbacks. We can do, I mean, we can. I was like, show me the lunch. I'm down for lunch. Let's have lunch. Sell me. You know what I mean?
Can't do it.
They can't do it. It's like, oh,
because they don't want to.
They really don't.
We do this absolute 180 in one episode, and I'm like, wait, what? Because then he's like, oh, cool. We can stop Malcolm Merlyn by stopping the undertaking. The list is irrelevant. I just need to stop Malcolm. Which you're like, hey.
Yeah, all of a sudden he just like throws the brakes on. Oh, we were going to sit here and improve the city. But no, all of a sudden now this is all I care about. Because
that's all we gotta shortcut do.
To yep. sleeping with Laurel.
Yeah,
and he's like, you are so gross, dude.
What? I forgot how abrupt this is.
It was extremely abrupt.
And you're just like, you're almost like in like, it's like you got rear-ended. You're like, wait, what just happened? Like, you're just like shell-shocked. I'm like, we did so many decisions here that make no sense at all. None. And I was just supposed to be like, yay, Oliver and Laurel are back together. Like, no.
I almost feel sorry for the Laurel fans that they had, like, I understand that they had to be like, yay, this is great, because that's all they had.
Right.
But, like, I feel bad because that's nothing.
You know what it is?
Not anything.
You know what it is? It's Delana endgame. Like, okay, they got Damon and Alina endgame, right, Maddie? They did it, but what did they get? They got Nina Dobrev kissing Ian Somerhalder on the chin, and that's it. There was no flash forward of their happy life, no engagement, no wedding, no nothing. It was just, oh, they end up together. Ta-da! And then they end the show with everybody, with, you know, Damon and Stefan finding each other in heaven. Like, half, I was like, that's it. That's it. Like, they've waited 2 seasons for their reunion, and they get a lame-ass kiss, and literally, like, then the next scene, you cut to them, like, walking down a street together, and that's it. That's what it feels like. You're just like, okay, I got what I wanted, but I didn't get what I wanted.
I got pup kiss.
I got, like, version of what I wanted.
No, it's like they yada, yada, yada the entire, like...
They did yada,
progression.
Yada. That's exactly... Ellipsy. We're in the pause. Like, we're in the. It's like
came back from the islands. We had a few lunches. Yada yada yada. We're not sleeping.
Like, oh, he really has changed. I'm like, okay, can we examine the Oliver Queen portion of the change that she would have witnessed? Let's just run through it. He's opened a club. He's managing the club, kind of. Tommy was really managing it.
Really?
He's maybe a little, like, I guess he's nicer.
Yeah.
But he's still very, like, emotionally closed off.
Yeah.
he's maybe not like drunk 80% of the time, which I imagine frat boy Ollie was.
Maybe like he is showing that he cares about his family more. Maybe. But I don't know how she would see that. Like, this made a lot more sense in 1A if we did this in the first half of the season. Because like,
there's so much that just doesn't fucking track.
My problem with like this whole like trajectory is you get to like 109, which is a Christmas episode, and there's a very definitive, okay, Oliver and Laurel, because they have been spending quite a bit of time with each other and going back and forth, and there was like a very definitive, Oliver's gonna back off and Tommy and Laurel are together. And then that was what all of 1B was. And then all of a sudden she shows up at the hospital after Tommy breaks up with her, and he's like, oh yeah, but by the way, I love you. Okay. So now we're just like supposed to accept that there's been this mystical change in Oliver that everybody can see. And I'm like, I know he's changed. You know he's changed. Maddie knows he's changed because we see him as the Hood. We see him as Oliver in his fullness of self. But nobody else really sees. So I guess it just means he's employed full time and he's nicer.
I guess.
He's not wearing scarves.
But see, this is why we all liked Elicity while we were drawn to them, mm-hmm. is that it wasn't off screen. There mm-hmm. wasn't nonsensical reasoning around them getting together when they did get together. There was no toxic backstory. It was like we were able to start with a clean slate with them.
Well, and like they're building it. Like in this episode, because I remember watching it live, and I remember all the vids, and there's a very small moment. It's after Diggle beats the shit out of him, which had to be so much fun for Diggle. I love that for Diggle. I was just like, yes, sir, have your fun. Beats the crap out of Oliver so Moira confesses what the undertaking is going to be. So they're in on the plan. And then, you know, Felicity is obviously concerned about Oliver. And so he comes in and she reaches to touch his face, but he holds her back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that bugs me. Because that was like one of the moments where I was like watching it live. I was like, oh, maybe they aren't going to do this with them. You know what I mean? Like that was where I was like, okay, here we go again. It's
well, you have
Friday.
To understand like what was his reasoning? Like, where was his head at with that?
Right. Where is his head at? I do think he is. I do think he keeps her at arm's length in season one. I think he has a lot of moments where he, like, there's a really great moment where she's like, oh, we met 7 months ago. And he's like, you know, I need to know things I don't remember. Like, that's a classic Elicity scene. But, like, he is very much, he's still Oliver, season one Oliver, who very much has this arm's length. With any kind of like real human connection, which is why the flip with Laurel was so weird.
Yeah.
And like the speech bothers me. Everything about that scene bothers me. Because first of all, he's decided he saved the city already. Like, hi, count your chickens.
Like, since when?
Like, the last time,
hold on.
Like, the last time you went up against the other archer, he kicked your ass all the way to the hospital. Like, why? Where does this confidence come from? I'm confused. You know?
Where, like, the cover story was you were hit by a car.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay. And then he's like, well, we're just going to check the list because this will be shorter. This is a shorter path. And then he's like, I'll see you, Oliver and Felicity. And he just pieces out. And Diggle's like, where are you going? And like, honest to God, he was like, I'm going to go have some sex.
That's literally what happened, though. That's literally what happened.
Was he just like hard up? Like, I'm so confused. So he knocks on the door and Laurel's all, just say what you have to say. Which, understandably so, he's jerked her around for the 3,000th time. And then he's just like, you know, the something that's always pulled me back, that's gone. And there's no additional questions. Like, what was that something, Oliver? What was it that was making you pull away? Could we name that feeling so that we can...
The writers could not have cared less.
No, they could not have cared less. It's like, could we name that feeling so like we can make sure before we sleep together again? Because, you know, you are the reason my sister is dead. But details. just to make sure that like that doesn't happen again. But Laurel's like, amazing. That's fantastic. And he's just like, yeah, you know me better than anyone else. And I'm like, that line, every time he says it, because I think he says it again next episode, it's like nails on a fucking chalkboard, you guys. I just want to scream at him. He still lies to her. He has the whole crux of why they failed was lack of trust. Like, he lied to her.
And so you're going to start again by withholding.
With a lie. So, got it. Like,
yeah,
a big one.
Save the city, be done with the hood, then knock on the door and ask for sex. Like, nah. Actually be done with the hood. If you have no intention of ever telling her, which I still feel is wrong, he should tell her regardless.
Nah.
He's just like, nah, I got this. Let's go have sex.
Gross.
And then they have radioactive playing. Like, I understand it was a really, because like Laurel fans will be like, well, that was a really popular song in 2013. I'm like, yeah,
it was.
Well,
it really was.
Okay. It was
but song. You know, like, what also shows in 2013 were doing, like, all the other CW shows were playing Cosmic Love at some point. Like, that's like, that's a song you do a sex scene to.
You know,
like,
what you want to know what's super triggering though?
Which way?
So I'm kind of, Jen knows about this. Maddie, I think I might have mentioned it on a podcast. Anyhow, I'm dipping my toes into like another little fandom thing. Anyhow, that song is used a lot for what my particular interest is aimed towards. And I'm just like, every single time I'm like, I love the song.
You
I
do. You're a Dragon. Huge Imagine Dragons fan.
But like, that song is like in a fandom / shipping / whatever, like, It's triggering.
It's a no-go.
It's triggering, and I blame this show for triggering me with a song that I actually kind of like, but, like, listen, I'm triggered.
Listen, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I'm not kidding. One of my all-time favorite songs is Belong by the Carey Brothers, and they had released an article before the season 4 finale that the Carey Brothers – there was a song, they interviewed the Carey Brothers, and like, oh yeah, they're using one of our songs in the season finale of The Vampire Diaries. And I was just like, are you freaking kidding me? I was so excited. And then they used my absolute favorite song, which, by the way, the lyrics are basically saying these two shouldn't be together, but that's just details. Sorry, Delana fandom. And they used it for Damon and Elena. So now every time I hear my absolute favorite song, I have to like really struggle and like try to like be like, no, I liked this before, but like the visual is in your head.
I know.
Oh, yeah, it's just wrong.
I know exactly what wrong. You mean.
And they already did that to me. I think it was a couple weeks ago because they had "Stay" by Rihanna, which was another song that was
which
all
is another
CW.
Great song.
Yeah, another great song. And they had that playing during just like a heart wrenching Stefan and Elena scene, which like basically rip your soul out scene. You're like, awesome, thanks. And then now they had it playing with Laurel and Oliver. I'm like, could people stop using my songs?
No.
I have a lot of rage. It's good I'm writing.
No consideration.
I can work out all my rage. It's just so irritating. So, yeah. And then we get to the actual sex scene. So, okay, guys. They've built this
up. He has her socks on.
It's 23 episodes.
He dropped her on the floor.
Jean shorts and, like, knee-length socks. You're like, well, that's a look. And yeah, it kind of looks like Steven is like very tight-lipped, and then Katie with her biting thing again. So when they it just looks like two birds fighting or something, you know what I mean? It's like one pecking at the other one and the other one's like, stay away from me.
So very bitey.
And then, I mean, I don't know if it was because I don't know. Because Steven had done sex scenes before he was on Arrow.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, what's going on here, fella? Because it was so robotic.
There was no chemistry.
And it was just,
yeah,
it was meh. And then, like, it was just like, this is it. This is it. This is the big sex scene. This is all we get. This is it. Really?
It really did feel like they were rushing through.
It felt like we were, you know where this scene belonged? At, like, the end of freaking season 2. Like, if you're going to have Laurel and Oliver be together.
Be the couple.
Be a couple. first of all, if this is really Endgame, I mean, I can't really think of a show, maybe like Dawson and Joey, but like Dawson and Joey weren't like, they were kids, you know, these are grown ass adults. And I'm just like trying to think like where you pull the trigger on that, on your will they, won't they, like characters like right away. I don't know. I guess you can do it. Other shows have done it, but it felt very rushed. I was more like, well, why don't we build this up a little bit? Get through all the, spoiler alert, Sarah stuff. Then it makes sense if they end up
like
together.
Season one finale is a big swoony kiss, not a sex.
Yeah, it just, they were rushing through because they wanted to put that relationship to bed.
I mean, that is literally word for word what Mark said, I think, in a season two interview when they find, or it was like season two or season three, where they're like, are we ever going to go back to Laurel and Oliver? And he was like, no. And he was like, we're done.
Yeah. Don't you remember? Didn't you see?
Yeah. He was like, we really intended to close that loop in season one. I was like, well, you closed it, big guy. I was like,
it's shut.
My thing is, it's the same, like this whole question of Oliver choosing Laurel with the, cause everyone's, this is what would frustrate me so much. It was like, they would tell the Elicity fans, all the Laurel Lance fans, that we were delusional. And it would kind of sometimes be like, am I delusional? Like, I think I'm seeing things.
They were so sure. But like, when you really go back and watch, even without Mark saying what's
right, without even him like, saying anything,
you go back and you watch it. If you recall back when I was like entered the fandom, I had watched season one a couple times. Like, I was,
yeah,
I
you
was
were
a rewatcher.
On it. Yeah.
And every time I rewatched it, I was like, they're done. They wouldn't have rushed this like this, right, if they weren't done.
The pacing is so off. And it's like, to me, what they're really asking, because you have to, it's like, what are the writers trying to say? I don't even feel like they're saying, oh, we got to check off Laurel and Oliver. I think they're saying, okay, is Oliver actually choosing Laurel a good thing?
Yeah. And saying, that's the other thing.
Well, this is not good. It's not good.
Because it wasn't even, if it was the very last moment in the season finale, then maybe you could make an argument for it being, this is the happy ending.
Right.
And
like, they
we don't know if we're
going
to get picked up for a second season. Right. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, it wasn't the very last thing. It was kind of shown as his stumble before he picked himself up and did the right thing.
Exactly. It was very much he's skipping the middle of the book and just going straight to the end. And you're like, sorry, that's not what
you... No, you can't do that.
I was like, that's not... We're there, Oliver. Sorry. And by not... It really feels like, to me, when you are not letting Laurel in on what's going on, because, I mean, why couldn't he tell her? Like, that is what is so ridiculous about this. He told Diggle. He told Felicity. Felicity, because this whole, oh, well, Laurel can't know because he's protecting her. That's what they hung their hat on. I'm like, Felicity has less self-defense abilities than cop, you know, daughter of a cop, you know, with the shotgun. And I'm like, Oliver's just like, it's cool. We can protect Felicity. We got this. She can know. But Laurel, he's like, no, we must protect. He is choosing.
The math isn't mathing.
Right. He's choosing to keep her in the dark. Why? It makes no sense.
He don't like her.
Like,
he doesn't want to tell
in
her.
In season two, when she turns on the Arrow and is like, I want to get him in jail, then yeah, you don't tell her then. But like...
When she's
but in this time when she like hero worships him.
Here's the thought that maybe he didn't want to tell her because he didn't trust her. And we do see signs of that in season one and of course season two. But like,
I mean, she has
season one, he didn't.
Yeah, she has yoga.
He didn't trust her not to tell her dad. He didn't trust her not to get mad at him.
Yeah.
He didn't trust her.
I think you're right. It really has to be about trust.
Because he trusts Diggle and he trusts Felicity.
Yeah,
but
he's known them for...
Her.
Well, and then he didn't want to tell Tommy. I think Tommy rolls into it too because Tommy reacted the way Oliver thought he was going to react, which is be really,
yeah,
really mad.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, it's like, well, if Tommy reacted like this, how's Laurel going to act, you know?
Because he, Tommy and Laurel, two peas in a pod.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. Like, he uses, what really drives me nuts about Oliver and Laurel, I just feel like she's very, very manipulated. Like, I really thought I was going to be angrier at her about the Tommy stuff. But as I'm coming down to it, as I'm getting towards the end, I'm like, Oliver really is kind of a villain in her life because
he fucks everything up.
He keeps his hooks into her just enough.
He's a fuck boy.
Yeah, just enough. Like, he knows he can't have her, but he doesn't want her to move on. That is horrifically selfish. That is horrifically selfish. To a woman you claim to love, that a woman that you cheated on, to a woman that you lied to, you're trying to prove to her that you changed. You're still lying to her. You're messing with her head. You're manipulating things so she questions whether or not she should be with the guy that she really is supposed to be with. And I think Oliver knows that deep down, because that's why he goes waltzing into Tommy's office. And his speech to Tommy, I mean, the fact that Tommy did not
smack
him
so
in the freaking mouth. And he's just like, well, you know, Laurel chose you till you couldn't handle it. And Tommy's like, cool. This... Remember the part where you're the hood and you lied to her and I have this massive secret that I can't tell my girlfriend who I probably want to marry and I got to lie to her for the rest of my life? And you've manipulated her all this whole time. And now I think she's got a thing for the hood because you freaking manipulated her. So, yeah, I got a problem with it, Oliver. And Oliver's like, well, that's not my fault.
It absolutely 110% is your fault, sir.
What are you talking about? And like, his lack of just self-awareness and how his actions impact Oliver or impact everyone. It is so free. Island, like Ollie, like he's acting like Ollie. I don't see the change in Oliver at all when it comes to Laurel. That's why I don't like him so much, because he's still acting like Ollie. This is Ollie behavior. He's just lying about different stuff. He's just being selfish. He's getting what he wants. He's doing what he wants. And he really doesn't give a shit about however people feel. And there's this, like, you know, I have this thing about relationships where it's like, oh, well, we have to overcome the odds and, like, be together, even though everybody says it's wrong and we're hurting people in the process of us being together.
But we can be selfish.
Right. Because we're in love. Sorry.
That's a superhero story?
Yeah. Like, being in love is not permission to treat people like shit and to really hurt people you claim to love. Like, it's not okay to cheat. Like, I don't care what your, you know, whatever your reasons are. It's not okay to cheat on someone. It's not okay to have an emotional affair with someone. It's just not okay. And both Oliver and Laurel have been doing that all season to Tommy. So Tommy goes, like, Oliver gives him this speech, big speech about being with Laurel. And Tommy's like, yeah, you know, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I can do this. And what does Tommy walk into? He goes to Laurel's apartment. And what does he see? The two trees humping.
And he's just like, what else did I fucking expect? Like, his face.
Like, it's so bad.
And the fact that Tommy then, after seeing that, goes to save Laurel anyhow. Like, this is what I mean when I say, Jen, Tommy, Laurel does not deserve Tommy.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, my thing with that is, she doesn't deserve Tommy. If they had done this right, if they had actually written this show in any way that showed they give a shit about Laurel's character in any way, to me, like, it really makes sense to me, her trajectory in season two. And I think you're right. She's not the person. She's being pretty selfish, I think. And I think she's
so fucking selfish. Yeah.
You have to own your choices. She chooses to sleep with Oliver in that moment. Like,
she does.
The corpse on her relationship with Tommy has not even cooled yet. And she's jumping into bed with his best friend. And yeah, Tommy
they
says.
They make each other selfish.
Yeah.
Even like
Tommy,
further
like, and Laurel's just looking for permission to do it. And I'm kind of like, well, were we really honest with Tommy about us? She's very. Her emotions are very Elena Gilbert. She's all over the place. And it's kind of freaking, it's like Felicity Porter and Felicity with Noel and Ben. It's like, okay, well, if I, you know, all right, you're going to make this choice. Got it. You got to own it. And I just, you know, the way the writers paint it, they're like, Oliver choosing Laurel and Laurel choosing Oliver are bad decisions. There's no other way to frame this in this episode. If they really were like, this is a great thing, they should be together, they wouldn't have framed it with this song, with breaking Tommy's heart.
With Tommy, the song, the not disclosing things, the dropping everything else in the city to go
lighting. Like, I know we keep getting back to the socks, but like, if this is like the big romantic moment of like your A couple that's going to be endgame and together forever, TV shows don't do that.
Right.
Right.
Like there's a negligee involved. Like it's a sexy dress. It's something. It's something. And they take their time with it. Like think back to season 3 and what we get.
Yeah.
They took their time in that scene. Like they took their time in the Stefan and Elena.
The whole episode.
With Joey and Pacey. They took their time with Damon and Elena.
With 320, when you think about it, that whole episode was wrapped around that moment.
Yeah, it was like
the beginning of the episode, the end of the episode. It was all in service of that moment.
Yep. And meanwhile, so you have Oliver, like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and sleep with Laurel because you know I saved the city. I'm a rock star, which. You're like, what are you talking about? Like, none of that has happened yet. Literally none of it. Like, none of it. And then you have him interacting with Felicity all episode. Which definitely felt way more than friendly. Like, you have, in the episode that he sleeps with Laurel, you have her, she makes a comment about, you know, like I said, this is when we met a month ago, and Oliver's like, yeah, I know. Like, he basically remembered their friendiversary. Which, do you know a lot of guys that do that, that are your buddy, that remember the day they met you and know how long it's been?
No.
I don't know any heterosexual, none of my heterosexual male friends would be able to say, this is the day I met Jennifer, because they don't care. Because I'm just a friend. I know that somebody probably would remember the day that he met me, which is my husband. So there's that. And then you have the sexually charged, like basically Team Arrow out in the field, breaking into Merlin Global, which is hilarious.
Get jealous.
That was honestly
in the elevator.
Can I pause for a second though? If Laurel and Oliver hooking up was the biggest thing that the Laurel and Oliver fans would want to have you believe, you only need to look at how people, not just Felicity fans, but all people watching Arrow reacted to that episode. The only thing people were talking about was the elevator and hold on to me tightly. Yep. You know, that whole thing, like that was the biggest takeaway from that episode. Not Laurel and Oliver.
My thing with that scene when I watched it the first time, when she says that to him, like clearly we have set up that Felicity makes these bumbling sexual Indian, like she doesn't mean it sexually. She does mean it sexually, but she's like, she's just babbling.
Freudian slips.
Yeah, yeah. Freudian slips. There you go. And he looks at her.
Because he's like, oh, really?
Like, it wasn't. It really wasn't like, you know, when she was doing like, it feels really good to have you inside of me, and he was like, please stop talking, you know what I mean?
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't, his reaction wasn't the, oh my god, I can't believe you said that.
Was, he just
it was
looks
really?
At her, but it's like the most intense stare, and they just stare at each other,
and that's when we were all watching, we're like, okay, so I ship it.
I'm like, holy shit. Like, that was so hot. I was like, can they do it right now on top of the elevator? Like, I literally thought he was going to rip her clothes off. And just, like, just
and then he's all soft with her when they get out of the elevator. And she's still kind of freaking out. And he's just like, are you okay?
Yeah. And then, like the jealousy moment with the guy's hitting on her. And he's like,
yes.
That was the best. Like, you see what Oliver, you're like, you see? You want Laurel, but you ain't acting like it, my dude. Like, that's my thing with the writers. It's like, we weren't imagining this stuff. The Laurel Lance fans were like, you guys are just insane. Okay, maybe Felicity just has a crush on Oliver. And I'm like, that's not what they're doing. And I was like, these are writing choices. These are the Arrow creators making choices. And they're painting it as Laurel is not the one he should be with. They really are painted as that. I don't think you can have Tommy outside the window and come away with that and be like, this was a great thing for Oliver and Laurel.
Right. Thank you.
You can't.
Have to ignore everything else in order to believe that.
Like, you have to be okay with the human wreckage of Tommy Merlin to be cool with Oliver and Laurel. And their argument is they were meant to be, but they have yet to show me why.
Yeah. Why were they meant to be? Because... this is where they would always fall back on, because they were together in
the comic books. I'm like, well, I'm not reading the
book. Like, that's not a good enough reason. Exactly.
Because Black Canary. I'm like, what I love about the Oliver and Felicity relationship, and I think with the rewatch and what I'm seeing, is they started even earlier than I thought. And I think I had come to that conclusion at some point over the course of the 8 years, but I was like, oh, yeah, we weren't imagining that. They really did start the rebuild way, way earlier in season one than I thought. And they're taking their time. When we get to season three, season four, season five, and you're saying Oliver and Felicity are destined to be together, we have evidence for it. There's
so much
character
evidence.
Moments. There is emotional growth. There is the process of building the friendship, the process of trusting each other, the process of making each other better. It's like, it's building blocks. And we get none of that with Laurel and Oliver. There's none. All the speeches in the world have not shown me, how does Laurel make Oliver a better person?
It's the contrary.
She really doesn't. He's doing some pretty awful stuff in order to be together. He's totally throwing his best friend overboard, which I'm kind of like, that's not a good look, Oliver. This isn't like, and he's just like, yeah, I can have what I want. It's really selfish.
Also, as far as like, I know our whole thing over the course of the series is the like, you can be the Arrow and have a personal life and all that. But also, you are on the verge of the undertaking. First, seal the undertaking situation before you even are like
can we check that box off, please, sir? Like, okay, you only have one.
It's a pretty freaking big deal.
I was like, like Malcolm Merlin's written in calligraphy or something in your freaking list book. Could you just sign, could you cross that off before you go racing to her apartment? It's illogical. And this is a person who is very measured and calculated. He doesn't do things without thinking. Like, he's very mechanical in season one. And you're like, this is just, and everyone's like, well, he's in love and he's just following his heart. And I'm like, I don't think that's what it was.
No. My take is the fact that, like, his mom and his best friend's dad are the ones behind, like, the great evil that's going to kill the city. Throws him so off course and just like, my world is upside down, that I need like something of like my old life of like, things are gonna be okay. And so that's why he gets so hellbent on Laurel during this manic episode, basically.
Well, you know what I really think, because that's a really good point, Maddie, because like, I also think the fact that he's like, oh well, I'm gonna stop the undertaking, everything's gonna be great. Because his whole, he thinks there's a start and an end to this mission, and it all lies within the list. And once he kills all these people, it's really kind of, it's a little, like, listen, if there was no Diggle and Felicity, Oliver would have become basically Prometheus, as we find out in season five. Like, there was a process. Like, if Buffy didn't have Willow and Xander, she would have turned into Faith. That's why you have the darker reflection, because you can show the character, what's going to happen to the character without their humanity. So, he has a fairly sadistic point of view on it, where he's like, I just got to kill all these people and then we're good. And then he gets to this episode. He's like, oh, I don't have to kill all of these people. I just have to kill one person and then I'm good. And then he's like, oh, well, that means my mission's done. That means I have, you know, fixed everything that I broke and now I can be with Laurel. And Laurel is part of the things that he feels he broke. So somehow in his brain, he thinks saving the city makes him worthy of being with Laurel, and he feels like, okay, she's ready to forgive me, that means we're good. These two have not dealt with their stuff at all. There's no discussion of Sarah that has resolved Sarah. Like, Laurel's tried and he has shut it down. He has not explained his actions to her at all. There was, he had, and that's why I get mad at him. He has every opportunity to say to Laurel, this is why I was doing this, this, and this. And all she ever gets from him is silence. It's infuriating. Mm-hmm. Like that scene in the bar last episode, that should have been the episode where he sits down. And he's like, this is the reason I got on the boat. This is why I slept with Sarah.
Right.
I was running from this. I was scared about this. And this is how I know it's wrong. And this is how I'm trying to change. There should have been a fucking conversation. And there wasn't. He doesn't talk. He's not ready for this. He's like, he can't. The concept of her knowing any of this about who he really is, he is like so adverse to. So what are you really trying to do? He's trying to recapture his past. Like, he's trying to make it so like he was never on the boat.
Yeah.
And that's not possible. You got on the boat, Oliver. You got on the boat with Sarah. Like, being with Laurel doesn't make your dad all of a sudden come back to life. Like, he thinks in his brain, I have to fix this. Because that's what he's been saying on the island the whole time. He's like, well, when I get her back home, she's going to know I love her. You're like, well,
do you?
It doesn't fix anything. Like, okay, you love me, but you still slept with my sister.
I've got a little theory to interject on here.
Yeah, I don't think
when he was on the island and when he first came back, I don't think he really knew what love was.
He thought
love was saying the words. He thought love mm-hmm. was just being there. He didn't understand what it meant to love somebody. Because if mm-hmm. he truly loved Laurel, he would not have done.
Oh, you cannot. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Not even just the stuff he did in the past, but the stuff he does in the present. Like, he does not know. He thinks he knows. He thinks this is love. But it's just he's got himself convinced. Either Laurel convinced him or his family or his friends or somebody convinced him. This is love, buddy. And he's like, okay. But it's not. And he doesn't know what it is.
It's very like, I'm supposed to be. Oliver and Laurel are supposed right. to be. I was like, why? Correct. Because they were together in high school? Like, listen, yep. I've lived this, okay? Like, I had a high school sweetheart, and all of my best friend was absolutely convinced I was supposed to marry him because she was marrying her high school sweetheart. So we were going to be married to our high school sweethearts and have our side-by-side houses and our chocolate labs and, you know, our Volvos together or whatever the dream was. And I was like, yeah, I'm not in love with him, though. And, like, we tried to get back together in college, and it just didn't work because I wasn't in love with him. I loved him, but I wasn't in love with him. And then I met Nick, and I was like, Oh, okay. This is why it didn't work with this other guy. Because that wasn't really, I thought that's what being in love was, but that ain't it. This is what it is. And he really can't get that clear into his head until he really determines that he is really in love with Felicity, which takes him some time. Sort out, which is understandable. I don't have any problem with the length of time that they took to get the two of them together. Because now I've seen what it looks like when it's fast, and I don't want it. I don't want it.
It's gross.
I don't love it.
Still could have been about 4B and 5A, but like, still take your time.
Right. Like, it was like, it's more satisfying. Like, there comes a point, and I agree, it's hard for writers to know when that point is, where it's the will they won't think gets to be too much, or you haven't really run that, you know, emptied that box enough.
Well, there was, it was very clear this was planned as a five-year show, and then all of a sudden it wasn't anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also throws things.
So you're like, okay, great. Now we have to change the whole, like, format of the show. But I remember I wrote, you know, where I had to contrast the scene in season two with Oliver and Felicity, the finale in season two against season one. And they do it on purpose. They're literally reflections of each other. Like, it's almost identical in the way that they approach it, but they change some stuff that's very, very interesting. And the number one thing that is wildly different, Oliver and Laurel are literally standing in the same spot that Felicity and Oliver are standing in season two. The difference is he's in the aero suit.
Right.
Put off in the aero suit.
But Felicity, yeah, with the hood off, the hood off represents the him that's not the aero.
Right.
And the suit, obviously,
is I'm the aero. So you get a complete Oliver in this scene. I will never forgive him for continuing to lie to Laurel. I'm like, there's no reason he should not be telling her. There's no reason. So he's thinking, I can just have a relationship with somebody. I can marry somebody and never tell her anything about my past and what I, and I'm the crime, you know, fighting leather clad, you know, archer that she's been lusting over all season. And what really
that I joined the like Russian mob and like all like, this
what
stuff.
What really drives me about that on Tommy's behalf is Tommy's right. Oliver says to his face, I'm backing off. You two be happy. And then he uses the hood to keep his hooks in her and emotionally manipulate her. And yeah, there's times where she's like, oh, I hate the hood. He's a killer, whatever. But ultimately, we wind up with Laurel being like, oh, because what happens is the hood keeps showing up for her.
Right.
He keeps showing up to save her. Keeps doing things that show Laurel that he, it's not just he's helping. He's helping me. He's helped, like, he feels something for me. So it's all this reinforcement that muddies the water with Tommy. That's not backing off. If Oliver really loved her and he really was like, yes, I want her to be happy, he would have left her alone all season. He would have left her alone. Like, there should be no relationship between the two of them, really, in all reality. And no one's going to get me off of that soapbox. I'm just like.
No. You're like, this is where I live now.
This
you
is where I live.
My mind.
I cannot stand him with her. And I don't even blame her. I'm team Laurel. When it comes down to Oliver and Laurel, I really put it's like a 60-40 split and maybe 70-30. And the 60 or 70%, that's all Oliver. She's got to own what she does to Tommy at the end of this episode. That was wrong. She sleeping with Oliver was wrong. She shouldn't have had sex with him. She should have said, you know what? I just broke up with Tommy. Why don't we go out to dinner?
Yeah. Where's that?
But no, they're like, yeah, I'm just gonna have sex. I'm like, okay. Use your words, people. Use your words. And it just feels like even in the sex scene, they're trying to rush through it as fast as humanly possible. It's really fucking infuriating.
Truly. Well, Jen, I know you have a hard
I gotta go. So you guys go talk Taylor Swift and all the goodness. I agree with everything you're going to say. So
but next week we got the finale. We're almost through season one.
Yes!
I know. And guys, I'm going to have the reviews written. I'm almost done. I only have three more.
You're doing so well.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's a kick.
Truly.
But no, this episode really does like inspire a lot of very vehement feelings all around.
Well, what's funny is in the rewatch is like, because I knew Radioactive was looming upon us, but then I also forgot that like the Merlin Global heist was happening in this episode too.
Yes.
Like my brain had like blocked those off as like good memories and bad memories. I couldn't conflate them in the same hour of television.
You're like, oh no, there's good.
How can they do both?
Yeah.
But well, that was a special talent that Arrow writers had to do some like great work and then some just bullshit all in the same 45.
They had to give us the carrot and the stick, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Boy, what a stick was it? Well, I guess that's all we had to say about it.
Yeah, so we'll get into finale next week, and then we can actually start moving at a more normal pace, Arrow-wise.
Yes, thank goodness.
Because season two, it moves a lot faster. I'll probably still fast-forward through a lot of the flashbacks, but as far as there's some good shit.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. And, yeah, in the Taylor and Travis content, we were fed well this week.
Oh my gosh, so well. So well. I talked to Jen a little bit yesterday. Like, some point where I was like watching a TikTok. I'm like, but is this a movie? Like, is this really happening? I think I blacked out, you know? Too funny. It's just, you couldn't write this.
Now that I don't know if it was like lip readers or if they isolated the audio, but like to break down as far as like what they were like telling each other on the field.
I saw like, no, the NFL themselves posted a TikTok with captions of what they were saying. I'm like, this is the NFL's account?
Oh, wait, that was from the NFL? Oh, my God. Okay.
I was like, what? Oh, my. Okay, so here's where we're at. It's too much. Too funny.
It's perfect. We got I love yous, and, like, I appreciate you, like, coming to these, and it
was a lot.
Death kiss.
It was a lot. It was a lot. Everybody died. The end.
The end. And thank you, West Wing, for letting us know how she can get from Tokyo to Vegas and time.
That was funny, too. Everybody's like, all of a sudden, that game, everybody, like, even my husband, who doesn't even care, was, like, pulling out the calculator and, like, Googling, like, how long it takes to fly from Tokyo to Las Vegas. He's like, she can make it.
I'll be jet-lagged as fuck. But...
That's too funny, though.
Yeah.
I love it. It's too fun.
It's wonderful. And then, because especially it's like, will she make it in time from the concert and all that? And so it's like, it's literally High School Musical, except if Gabriella had a jet.
And that's where you're like, okay, I need to like put the internet down. But no, it's going to be good. Good times.
Gonna be good, and I'm just happy that they're happy, and then just rolling my eyes at like the people losing their ever-loving mind of
the conspiracies and stuff, and it's like, people, you need to go outside and touch some grass or something.
Please. Yeah,
it's fine, it's not that big a deal, I promise.
Yeah, especially no given survive. My aunt eats that shit up, and yeah, so you're just like, there's I know that there's people who genuinely believe that, which is mildly.
Oh, yeah. No, they're convinced.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
That'd be cute. So there we go. That's kind of the big pop culture-y thing that's happening.
That is it.
Yeah. So that is in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Correct. 2 weeks.
There we go. Now I'm just wondering what the surprise songs will be for the concert before she goes to the Super Bowl to see him.
I'll be honest. My number one, like, what's going to happen is she going to announce Reputation? I'm like, please.
What if she has the money for it, but, like, dropping a Super Bowl ad.
That would be amazing. A Super Bowl ad announcing Reputation during the Super Bowl? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could go for that. That'd be fine. I'll take it.
Yeah, because it was a couple years ago, it was Beyonce dropped them, like, the ad for the Formation tour, like, just after she performed with Bruno Mars. And it's like, yes. Yes, please. So, yeah, that would work. Because I do think Reputation is next, and that, like,
oh, yeah,
it would 100%. Be the last to, like, make it full circle.
I agree. And then, because I feel like her first has to be the last.
Yeah.
It just has to be.
Closing the chapter, and it'll be fun of, because there's some bangers on there, so.
Yeah. I agree.
Getting to revisit. All right, Callie. Well, I think we'll conclude our podcast for today.
Yeah, I think we covered it.
I think we did.
You have a good week there, Maddie.
As Jen having a heart out kept us on topic and conversation.
She did. She had a lot to say. God bless her.
I'm so proud. All right. See y'all later. All right. Bye.
Bye.